This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Like most car buyers, you want to get the most for your money. That's why more Mazda buyers choose Ramsey Mazda. Get impressive offers on a new Mazda CX-30 or a Mazda CX-5 starting at just $29,276. Over 1,000 new Mazda vehicles to choose from. Visit RamseyMazda.com. Get the most for your money at Ramsey Mazda. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda.
Some people follow the rules, I break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we talk to the rebels who do things their way. Listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is getting unbelievable so quickly. I mean, it's now on us. He's four away from the record, three away from tying. The guy is just prolific this year. We've got to get somebody on, Denton, to explain why this guy is having this season, this type of season. He's got 38 goals. He's tied for fourth in the NHL, and he's played, you know, 10 less games, actually up to 15 less games than the guys in front of him on the season. 38 goals in 58 games. Obscene. Five goals now in his last eight games. He's on a tear. Like, he could do it tonight. I mean, he could certainly tie it tonight with a hat trick. You know what the odds are on that? There's a ton of betting opportunities now on Ovechkin. Take a shot, Denton, on what the odds are for him to score three or more goals tonight at Carolina.
So I'm going to guess, I'm not entirely familiar with how they get with some of these lines, but I'm going to guess it's going to be like plus 500?
Not bad. Not bad at all. 46 to 1.
Oh, Lord.
A little bit off. Just a little bit. It's a long, long shot. I mean, it is truly a much longer shot than what you described. I think that, you know, three goals. He had a hat trick this year, didn't he? Didn't he have a hat trick, or am I thinking of another player?
Two hat tricks. He had one.
He's had two hat tricks this year.
2 or 3 weeks ago, yeah.
Yeah, because he had one a couple of weeks ago. Was that game against that was on national TV against Edmonton?
Let me double check. I do think it was a national
TV. It was against Pittsburgh. I'm sorry. No, it was against Edmonton. It was against Edmonton. That was coming off the in season four national team tournament, whatever it was called. The Four Nations tournament. Was that what the name of it was?
I think it was. It was when there was no Capitals players, then they blitzed Pittsburgh the one night and then scored like eight against Edmonton the next night.
Yeah. Wow. This guy is having a season, and now we are legitimately, you know, a game or a couple of games away based on his pace. The Caps beat the Bruins last night. That's the other part of the story, although it is, you know, down the list in terms of the stories. They are still, whether you want this or not, they are still very much alive. They are 1 point behind Winnipeg for the President's Trophy, and they've played one less game than Winnipeg. I know a lot of Caps fans say, please, don't win the President's Trophy. It is a curse. You can't win the cup if you win the President's Trophy. They are having a season. They will be the one seed in the East. I would assume at this point they've clinched that. I don't know that for sure, but they're 11 points better with eight games left. I guess there's still a chance they could get caught, but they've clinched a playoff spot, and more likely than not, they'll be the one seed. In the way the NHL playoffs are structured, here are the potential right now, or the likely opponents for the Capitals in the first round. Montreal right now would be the favorite to be the Caps' first-round opponent. If the season ended today, they would play Montreal, who would be the second of the two wild card teams, and the, you know, the de facto eight seed in the Eastern Conference playoffs. But just behind Montreal are Columbus and the Rangers. So those are the three teams that right now are the most likely opponents for the Caps in the first round: Montreal, Columbus, and the Rangers. We can, you know, at some point as we approach the postseason, find out from a Joe B or somebody like that who would make the best matchup in a best of seven first round for the Caps. Remember, they have not won a playoff series, not one playoff series since they won the Cup. And so they'll be looking to win a series for the first time. And those playoffs do get underway in about a week. 2 weeks. 2 weeks from today, right? I think it's 2 weeks from actually today the playoffs begin. Let me just look that up to make sure. No, not 2 weeks from today. About 2.5 weeks from today. Their last regular season game is Thursday, April 17th. So that's 2 weeks from tomorrow. And then I would imagine the postseason would start that Saturday and Sunday, Denton. You know, 2 days after the regular season ends, they'll have major playoff games on that Saturday and Sunday, you know, game ones. I'm guessing that that's when they're not going to wait till the following week to start. Ovechkin rolling. Caps get a win last night against Boston. After, look, they had lost three games in a row, losing to Winnipeg, Minnesota, and Buffalo on Sunday. Ovechkin three away from tying it, four away from breaking the record. They've got eight regular season games left. Lots to get to on the show. Maryland has their new coach. He is Buzz Williams. I'll give you my thoughts on Buzz Williams coming up in just a few minutes. Gary Williams will be on the show with us at 10:35. And then we've got somebody from Texas A&M. Mark Passwater covers Texas A&M sports, football and basketball, for Rivals. He'll join us later on in the show at 12:35. Buzz Williams, Terps fans, is holding his introductory press conference, where Maryland is for him, at noon. We'll carry some of that at noon. So you'll hear how he is introduced and sort of what he says and maybe a couple of questions. We won't carry the entire thing, but we'll carry some of it at noon. I do want to start the show with a what do you got. So we're about 7 weeks away, 6 to 7 weeks away from the NFL schedule coming out. And I will do, per usual, a mock schedule sometime in early May, about a week before the actual schedule comes out. But you're going to start getting rumors on the schedule. You already are. My guy, NFL Nerd, on Twitter, retweeted some reports from Chiefs and Chargers reporters suggesting that the NFL has indicated that Kansas City will be the Chargers' opponent on that first Friday night week one game in Brazil. Now, the reason I bring that up is because Washington was a possible opponent for the Chargers in the Brazil game. But it looks like, and there are going to be a lot of rumors that we're going to, of course, just chase down, even though many of them won't actually come to fruition in terms of being legitimate. But this guy, NFL Nerd, usually is on top of it. And if he retweets it, I'm going to talk about it because I know that Washington fans, Skins fans, are interested to find out the big spots on the schedule next year. You know, a triple header on Christmas Day, a triple header on Thanksgiving Day. I would say that that is minus money at this point, that they're playing on one of those 2 days. And then secondly, are they going to play in the one of the two potential international games, Brazil or Madrid? The Dolphins host the Madrid game, and the Chargers are hosting the Brazil game. Well, it would appear as if the Chiefs are the target for the Brazil game. Last year, it was Eagles-Packers on Friday night. This year, the Eagles will obviously open up the season on Thursday night. Washington's is a potential opponent for the Eagles in the opener. But, you know, the one of the two international games appears to be going to the Chiefs. And I always felt like if they play in one of the two international games, it would be the Madrid game. That game, I think, is scheduled for early November, Denton. That would be against the Dolphins, and they do have a scheduled road game against the Dolphins. So maybe we just found out the first game on the on knowing what the schedule will look like when it comes out. Of course, this is always subject to change because this is just more of rumor mongering, which we love. We love speculation. We love reckless speculation on this show. If you had your preference right now, Madrid or Brazil, which of the two?
Like I'm getting to go to?
No, just for the team. Which game would you prefer they play in?
I got to live vicariously through them. Okay. I'd go Madrid. I think the Madrid game against Miami would be a good one.
Here's why I would prefer the Madrid game if they were to get one of the two. Because the Chargers game, I want to play in L.A. against the Chargers. That's going to be a neutral field environment anyway. So of the two teams that you're playing, scheduled to play on the road, if you're going to play either one of those two teams on their home field, it's the Chargers, not the Dolphins. The Chargers game in L.A., may be a home game for Washington, depending on when they play it. And I mean, there will be a ton of Skins fans in LA for the Chargers game. A ton. So you play the Chargers game on the road, play the Dolphins in Madrid. Not that the Dolphins have like this overwhelming home field advantage, but they can get really good home field advantage situations when they're good. So not to mention, personally, you know, Madrid would be phenomenal. I think I said this when it became a possibility. That's one where I absolutely would want to go. I'd want to go to Brazil. I've never been to Brazil. I've been to Madrid. I've never been to Brazil, but Madrid's phenomenal, and that would be an incredible week to be out there leading into a game against the Dolphins. The other five international games are in Berlin, Dublin, and three in London. Washington doesn't play any of those teams on their schedule as road games. The hosts for those games are the Colts, Steelers, Jags, Browns, and Jets. So anyway. All right. Get to Buzz Williams in a moment, but I just had to mention last night, I actually watched a lot of this game, and then I did fall asleep. And watch the highlights this morning. But for those of you who, you know, don't follow the NBA and don't care about the NBA, and I know a lot of you don't, still, what happened last night, you know, overall in the NBA was one of the great regular season nights in the history of the NBA. Steph Curry went for 52 in a road win against Memphis. The Milwaukee Bucks last night shot the highest field goal percentage since 1998 in an NBA game. They shot 68.9% from the floor. They were 51 of 74. 27 years ago, the Clippers shot 69.3%. So it was the best shooting night of this century in the NBA. And then late last night in Denver, Nikola Jokic had one of the great games in the history of the NBA. He scored 61 points in the game in a 140-139 double overtime loss that ended horrifically for Russell Westbrook. But in the game, Nikola Jokic scored 61 points, grabbed 10 assists, and had 10 rebounds. It was the greatest triple-double point total number in NBA history. 61, 10, and 10. He was 18 of 29 from the floor. 18 of 29. He was 6 of 11 from behind the arc. He made free throws to force the first overtime, made a shot to force the second overtime, and then got to The end of the second, at the end of the second overtime, they had a 1-point lead with a breakaway 2-on-1 with 12 seconds to go. Russell Westbrook made the choice to take a layup for a 3-point lead instead of pulling the ball out and burning clock and then getting fouled and going to the line with less time. And he missed the layup, a wide open layup. Minnesota came down, and at the very end of the game, as Westbrook, distraught after missing the layup, he got into the play late and fouled at Nickeil Alexander-Walker with 0.1 left, shooting a three. One of the worst sequences you will ever see at the end of a game, Russell Westbrook. And by the way, he's had a good season. But Jokic's 61 were the most by a player in the NBA this season. The triple-double, it's the third 60-point triple-double in NBA history. The other two were surprising to me because I would have thought Wilt would have been on this list somewhere, but it was Doncic and Harden have the other two 60-point triple-doubles, and they scored 60. In each of those games. So his 61 is the largest triple-double point-wise in NBA history, scoring 61 in the game. I know that we live in the world of sort of hyperbole and, you know, immediate reaction and, you know, recency bias, all of that. But if you're not an NBA fan, but you are a basketball fan, you're not paying attention to the career that Nikola Jokic is putting together. He is right now, at 30 years old, debatably the greatest big man in the history of the game. And I know that that would be, you know, met with laughter from most people, say, over the age of 50 years old. You know, Shaq, Kareem, Wilt, Russell, the list goes on. For me, Elijah Wan's should absolutely be in that conversation. But in terms of the versatility of the player, the ability, by the way, in a game that's far different than the game that those players played in, understood, but because of his ability to shoot threes, his incredible passing ability, he is a great passer. It's not crazy to say, even only at 30 years old, where he's got several years left in the NBA, he's in the conversation of the greatest center, the greatest big man in the history of the game. And to watch him is a joy. He is one of the highest IQ players I've ever seen. His passing at times is just as breathtaking as any other part of his game. He controls the game from that position like a point guard does, a great point guard does. He's incredible. The NBA playoffs, which we are just a couple of weeks away from, are going to be incredible, especially when it comes to the Western Conference. All right, when we come back, I'll give you my thoughts on Buzz Williams being hired at Maryland. Gary Williams will join us at 10:35. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980 and theteam980.com. Real quickly before I get to Buzz Williams, a friend of mine texted me, Kev, you buried the Caps lead. Two-time gold medal winning Team USA captain and top Caps prospect Ryan Leonard. Hobie Baker winning favor. Made his pro debut in Boston last night across town from where he starred at Boston College. But I love your energy and enthusiasm for Ovi's chase to top this great Gretzky for the goal-scoring all-time record. Go Caps. I did know Ryan Leonard was making his debut last night. I didn't mention it. I probably should have. But trust me, I've been around long enough to know that I did not bury the lead. The lead is Ovechkin scoring again. That there isn't anybody that would tell you that in talking about the Caps game last night, I should have led with Ryan Leonard's debut. I understand it was significant, and I understand he had some big hits, and I should have mentioned it, no doubt. But the lead last night wasn't Ryan Leonard. It wasn't even that the Caps won the game. It was that Alex Ovechkin scored another goal. And now is three away from tying and four away from breaking the mark. Harry Williams in 10 minutes. So let me give you my thoughts. Here we are. Like I've, you know, mentioned this week. Okay. Terrible ending to the Kevin Willard exit. Poorly done. Also, Maryland is in that look in the mirror moment. Two things are true simultaneously. But now it's about solutions. And I'll start with, I'm going to give Maryland some credit for focusing on what's next and not wallowing in what had just happened. I mean, less than a few days, just a few days after Kevin Willard officially told them he's leaving, they have a new coach, and the new coach has an unbelievable resume. Buzz Williams has won everywhere he's gone. 100-plus wins at Marquette, 100-plus wins at Virginia Tech, 100-plus wins at Texas A&M. If he does it at Maryland, if he wins 100-plus at Maryland, he'll become just the third coach in NCAA history to win 100 or more games at four different schools. The first one to do it was one of my all-time favorites, Lefty Drizel. Did it at Davidson, Maryland, James Madison, and Georgia State. The other one, I would never have guessed this actually, Steve Alford. Did it at Iowa, New Mexico, UCLA, and Nevada. Maryland did not sit around and, you know, fumble all over themselves and, you know, blame, you know, play the blame game. They were out trying to create a solution. That's what good people and good businesses do. They move on quickly, come up with a solution. Buzz Williams is a good solution given the situation they have. He has won everywhere he's been, won at Marquette. Took Marquette to an Elite Eight in 2013, two Sweet 16s before that in 2011 and 2012. At Virginia Tech, took Virginia Tech to a Sweet 16 one time in 5 years, took them to the tournament three times in 5 years. At A&M, he's been in the tournament in the last three seasons. The first three seasons did not take them to the tournament. He was in the NIT in his third year. They did not get out of the first weekend at all at Texas A&M with him. But overall, this guy has won everywhere he's gone. Good job by Maryland to come up with a solution amidst what was a chaotic couple of weeks. A chaotic couple of weeks on all fronts. The Willard front, the internal front, the donor front, the Board of Regents, whatever, all the people involved. And somehow they were able to dial in, focus, and come up with a solution. Because personally, I don't think the solution was to punt on next year and to give one of the assistants the job for a year and then figure it out, you know, during the season next year and have a much bigger field of potential candidates to choose from when you got to, say, you know, March, early March of 2026. Now, Buzz Williams had to be available, and he had to be willing. Why was he available? Why was he willing? Well, that's where the knock is. Buzz Williams, in three different jobs, has burned out, whether it's him moving on from them or them moving on from him. It's been short stints, 6 years, 5 years, 6 years. And it appears as if there is a bit of people getting worn out a little bit. Not from winning. Now, he hasn't been to a Final Four. He hasn't won a national championship. He's been to one Elite Eight. He has been to four Sweet 16s. You know, an Elite Eight and then another three Sweet 16s. But the Elite Eight year, they also had to go through the Sweet 16. So I call that four Sweet 16s, one Elite Eight. And there is this notion, when you talk to people, that he's one of these guys, he gets somewhere, he starts to get antsy, and he starts to look for his next gig when he's barely settled into the one that he has. And I think Maryland would like to have a guy that ends up being around for 20-plus years. You know? Gary Williams. But he's also 52 years old. He's also at, I think you could argue, despite what has been made very clear over the last couple of weeks, but I think you could still argue this would be the best basketball job that he's ever had. Texas A&M certainly isn't that. Now, money-wise, A&M flush with cash. Gas, oil, energy, A&M's loaded. But it's football 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, spring football 6, 7, 8, and then basketball. Virginia Tech certainly is not a basketball first school. It is a football first school. Marquette was a basketball only school, and he competed at a high level in the Big East during his 6 years there. And you could argue Marquette is an excellent basketball job, but I would say that Maryland, joining Maryland right now, is certainly at least equal to the best basketball job that he's ever had. And he's 52 years old. And he may be looking to finally settle down in one spot. You know, college sports has become very, very transactional. Players, coaches, short stints, players for a year. You know, they've had now for multiple years in a row. The only sport, pro or college, that we know of where there is annual unrestricted free agency. That's what players in college have. Unless the NIL deal that they signed was a commitment for 2 years. But it's amazing. They went from not being paid anything, at least not legally, to having the most freedom and the best opportunity of any, you know, team sport athlete in the sports that are big sports in this country. And it's become that way to a certain degree with coaches too. So when I say short stints, maybe 5, 6 years in this day and age shouldn't be viewed as a short stint. Stylistically, his teams have always been tough, physical, defensive, good rebounding teams. You know, stylistically, probably closer to Mark Turgeon and his style of play. You know, Kevin Willard came in more as a defensive coach. And I think, you know, a lot of people in the business would say Kevin's a better defensive coach than he is an offensive coach. And I think people would say that about Buzz Williams as well. But look, it's about now paying players. Do you have enough money? Are you committed enough to paying to get the best talent? And then do you have somebody that can coach it up? I talked to probably no less than a dozen people yesterday, including some coaches. And everybody said the exact same thing. This guy is different. He's quirky, but he is a grinder. He is all about basketball, and he's going to win at Maryland. Of course, we understand that winning in college basketball doesn't mean going 24-7 and getting a 4 seed and losing in the second round, which is what A&M just did. A&M was a 4 seed this year out of the SEC. It's all about what you do in March. And look, there's a certain amount of fortune, good fortune you need. Good bounces of the ball, good calls, good health, etc. But Maryland's going to be in that mix with Buzz Williams at the helm. And given the situation of the dilemma that Willard's, you know, abrupt exit put the university into that situation, they did a pretty good job, man. Now you're not even punting on next year with the portal and maybe some of the players he brings. Maybe they keep Rodney Rice. They could be competitive and good next year. You have no idea because it's so available to, if you can pay, and we think the job may be a better job today than it was a few weeks ago, it's a job well done considering the circumstances. You know, he would not have been my first choice because I wanted them to think big and swing big, see someone like Chris Beard. But given the situation, not bad. Gary Williams next. Buzz Williams, 6-year deal, according to reports, to become the Maryland basketball coach. Introductory press conference today in College Park at noon. We will carry some of that live here on the Team 980, your home for Maryland basketball. Joining us right now is the greatest coach in the history of Maryland basketball, Hall of Famer, Gary Williams. So I want to focus on looking forward and talking about Buzz Williams, but I do want to just ask you to sum up your feelings about what went down here over the last 2 weeks.
It was a great run into the NCAA tournament. You know, and to get to the Sweet 16 is an accomplishment, no doubt about it. It's a shame that it was kind of overshadowed by what was going on with the job situation. So, you know, it's, you see coaches change jobs all the time. I changed four times, four different jobs. And the only thing I'll say about it is that the people who hire you, you know, they've done a good thing in your career by hiring you and giving you a chance to coach, in Maryland's case, a major institution, a good, very good basketball school. And there's ways to leave. In other words, thank you for hiring me. It was a great opportunity for me. I really appreciate it. And I wish them nothing but success in the future. Or you choose another way to leave. And as a Maryland grad, you know, went to school there, played ball there, coached there, it hurts. You know, it hurts to see opinions about, you know, your school that don't need to be public, that don't need to be public. And, you know, that's what happened.
All right, let's move on to Buzz Williams. Your thoughts? I mean, it was a tough situation that the school was in with respect to timeline, you know, portal being open, most of the hires already being accomplished. So, you know, tell Maryland fans what we're getting in Buzz Williams.
Well, every one of the jobs that was filled before our situation to open were filled the day after it looked like the particular coach's season was over. And so the time period that we had to do it at Maryland, as you said, was constrained by the transfer portal, by the NIL money, which Saturday's a big day in terms of the NIL situation. So things had to be done. In Buzz Williams, you have a veteran coach who's coached in three major conferences, who's won, who's going to NCAA tournaments, whose record coming into Maryland is better than what the previous coach's record was coming into Maryland. And coaching in the Big Ten or any of the major conferences is not something that you can learn from a book. You have to have experience. You can't have one or two good years and say, okay, I'm ready to coach in the Big Ten. Believe me, it doesn't work that way. And I think in Buzz Williams' case, he's ready to go in terms of coaching. He's ready to compete with the Izzos, the Painters that you have to compete against in a Big Ten.
I'm assuming you had, you know, input into this. What was it when you had a chance to talk to him that impressed you the most?
He's a grinder. You know, he's a lifer as a coach. He's not necessarily one of those flashy guys, a Calipari type personality or whatever, but he's won wherever he's been. And to me, we need a solid coach that has the opportunity to coach with NCAA experience. And when you have NCAA experience, you're talking, you get to the Sweet 16, you're one or two games away from winning a national championship. And a lot of that is who you play, how well your team's playing, any injuries involved in either team. So all those things go into, you know, your opportunity to win a national championship. And at Maryland, playing in the Big Ten, that's our goal, is to win a national championship. Now, obviously, that doesn't happen all the time, very often, for sure. But at the same time, you want a coach that gives you that opportunity. And I think in Buzz, that's what you have.
Stylistically, Gary, what should Maryland fans expect from a Buzz Williams coach team?
Aggressive defense, number one. They get after it really hard, no matter where he's been, Marquette, certainly Virginia Tech, and you know, Texas A&M. They all play good defense under Buzz Williams. His offense, I think it varies depending on the players that he does get, But he'll be aggressive on offense. It won't be a dull game with Buzz Williams coaching.
How important, you mentioned Saturday. Saturday, April 7th, is, you know, essentially the deadline for the portal. So how crucial are these next few days? And, you know, can you give Maryland fans a sense of, you know, I think there's been this feeling since, you know, Saturday that 2025-2026 was going to be a punted season, that it was going to be a very difficult season. Hiring Buzz Williams, I think there's some optimism that next year could be a good year. What do you think?
Yeah, it all depends on the ability to get guys out of the transfer portal. You look at the successful teams, they all have guys from the transfer portal playing this year. And, you know, we have to be able to do that, and that's why it's important to get a coach in place so he has a few days at least to do it. And Maryland has money that's competitive in the Big Ten for the transfer portal. In other words, we have the money to compete with whoever else is after a particular recruit. We're not going to get outspent on a player within reason. So that's where we are, and it'll be interesting to see what happens. But once again, you have a guy in Buzz Williams that has that experience in the portal, in getting guys out of the portal, you know, that type of thing. And you know, that's to be learned. I wouldn't be good at it for a year or two because you have to learn how to do that. I look at Maryland. They weren't very good out of the portal 2 years ago, and they were good this year out of the portal. And that's how it goes. You learn as you go if you're a decent coach.
In terms of, and we're talking, of course, to Gary Williams, in terms of a staff, and like you said, you went from AU to Boston College to Ohio State to Maryland. The challenge of putting together a staff or bringing your staff with you, how is that just an individual situation, whether or not assistants want to come? Like, how will his staff shake out, do you think? And take us through that process.
Yeah, I don't know how a particular staff will shape out. I know if you have a staff, like my staff, my two assistants by the time I was leaving Ohio State were Randy Ayers and Paul Brazzo. They were both coming with me to Maryland. Randy Ayers got the job at Ohio State a week later, so they stayed there, which I perfectly understood. But they were good, and they were friends of mine. You know, you develop a relationship with your staff, and so if everything's good, then you know you want to bring them. That's fine. That's your call as a head coach. At Maryland, I would really like to see, you know, somebody from the past in basketball as one of the assistants. You're allowed six assistants now, so that's something that might be doable, because I think that's, if you look at since I left, that hasn't really been there, anybody with Maryland ties in terms of playing basketball or with coaching experience. And so, you know, maybe this is the time, but believe me, that's Buzz Williams' call. You know, that should be right. His call.
You know, I don't think I've ever asked you this, but all of your years coaching and all of the players that played for you, was there one player that you thought for sure would end up being a really good coach?
Oh, there was a couple. Steve Blake, I thought, you know, that point guard position, if you look around the country, most coaches were former point guards. They weren't centers. They weren't power forwards. They're coach guards. There's exceptions, obviously, to that. But, you know, you have to learn every position when you're a point guard, if you're a good point guard. I always thought Gravis Vasquez would wind up in coaching because he played point guard and he was an outstanding player. But he knew how to bring everybody into the mix in terms of your offense, in terms of your defense. And, you know, that's what you're looking for, really, is guys with the potential to do that, because you never know until they get into it whether they're going to be good coaches or not. You know, sometimes your greatest players aren't necessarily the guys that wind up being the good coaches, because they could do things that most other players couldn't do. But Gravis was a grinder. You know, he became better every year. Blake, the same thing. You know, nobody thought when he left Maryland he was going to play 13 years in the NBA, but he was a grinder. He learned how to adjust that position, the point guard position, to wherever he was, and that's why he was so outstanding in the NBA.
Yeah, and your first point guard, obviously, on the teams that won and were eligible to go to the tournament after probation, Dwayne Simpkins is coaching and sure. just took AU.
He's been an American U for 2 years, and he just signed an extension, and he's done a good job there. And I think, you know, he's just going to grow in the coaching profession.
So I think that anybody, you know, from afar or close to it can look at the situation Maryland was in and say, wow, they got an incredible resume coach in an incredibly short and abrupt situation and timeline. One of the things that I've said before, including the last hiring cycle, and by the way, going back to after you retired, is I just sometimes wish that we would think big and at least swing big. And I'm not saying Buzz Williams isn't a solid swing. And again, the situation to land somebody like him is, you know, almost a coup. But why, over the years, haven't... The last big swing was you. And you were an alum, but you were a massively successful coach at Ohio State with, by the way, a Final Four caliber team coming back. Why hasn't the school thought that way over the years?
Well, when I was hired, nobody was coming to Maryland except a graduate, probably, at that level because of the ongoing investigation right. by the NCAA. So that's the reason I would have never left Ohio State for any other job. And I told the people at Ohio State that when I left. And, you know, it worked out, but... You know, those first couple of years, I thought I made a mistake, to be honest, you know, in coming back. And so who's out there in a great position? You know, it wasn't helped by the comments by Willard when he left. That didn't help the job situation. And who's going to leave a great situation? Matt Painter is not going to leave Purdue, for example. Izzo's not going to leave Michigan State. Patino's not going to leave St. John's. And so, you know that stuff about Alabama, that wasn't, there was no right. truth to that at all. That guy's making so much money down there at Alabama, he couldn't leave, you know, that type of thing. So who are you going to get, you know? And that's for all Maryland fans. You know, we have an established coach that has won in three major conferences, and I think it's a great coup for the University of Maryland.
Last one, because I know you got to run. Is it possible that what the school just went through over the last 2 weeks has made the job for Buzz Williams a better job than it's been?
Well, I think what happened in that timeline, Maryland showed that they matched everything Villanova offered. I know that. Okay, they matched everything Villanova offered. So to say that Maryland doesn't have the wherewithal financially to get it done, that's not true. And I think Buzz is walking into that situation where they realize all of a sudden that here we go. We have to compete at this level now because of the NIL, because of transfer portal and all that, budgets, things have changed. And so I think Buzz is walking into a situation where it's doable in terms of being able to be as good as anybody else. And then that's where you want to get to.
Appreciate it. As always, I will talk to you soon. Good job. Thanks.
Thanks, Kevin. Appreciate it.
Gary Williams, everybody. Buzz Williams, grinder. I mean, have heard that over and over again. Like, it's basketball and his family. There's a piece of sound, Denton, that I should have asked you to get, but I saw it during the last break and just forgot. One of his players, when they lost in the second round this year, just absolutely went off with effusive praise on playing for Buzz Williams and what a difference Buzz Williams made in his life. This is a guy that, you know, has done it in multiple places. And Gary's point, and this is, you know, a huge point, you just don't walk in. Sure, there are out-of-the-box hires. And sometimes whomever it is that's, you know, truly the decision maker, really understands the sport, really understands people, really understands the qualities that make, you know, a leader and a manager of people. But it's hard to just walk in to a Big Ten coaching job with just a couple of years' experience on a much lower level. You know, he's been in the Big East wars, the ACC wars, and for the last 6 years, the wars in the SEC, which you could argue in the last couple of years, has been the best conference, top to bottom. And navigating that year in and year out in terms of what you have to do in your off season and what you have to do to get your team ready, and then what you need to do during the course of a scout, a build-up to a game, and then in the game at the highest levels of the sport, it's, you know, it requires experience. And Gary emphasized that. And again, I would have been supportive, because I'm a Maryland guy, of anything, whether it would have been Luke Murray, who's never been a head coach before, the assistant for Hurley, that I would bet that there was a lot of conversation about, that Dwayne Simpkins, Tony Skin, I guarantee you there was some conversation about that. But ultimately, to land a guy that has been through the wars and been much more successful than unsuccessful in the Big East, ACC, and SEC, given the time constraint and the bind that you were put into, it's a good land. You know, I know Maryland fans, a lot of them are like, why not go the Luke Murray route? Why not give Dwayne Simpkins a shot? Why not back the truck up for Chris Beard? You know, Gary mentioned Nate Oates. Nate Oates, nobody's leaving Alabama with the kind of money they have, and the salary that he makes, and the NIL money that they have for, you know, almost everything because of football. But given the situation, interesting. By the way, Chris Beard was, you know, during the course of the day, thought to be a guy that A&M would go after, and I kept thinking that, and I'm like, okay, A&M's going to get the guy that I think we should have backed the truck up for, but we're going to get the guy that A&M left, let go. But I don't know. It looks like Beard may have leveraged that into a better deal at Ole Miss. And I think he's probably would have been a long shot to Maryland anyway. But Buzz Williams can coach. Maryland fans, if you've watched his teams over the years, man, they are tough and they are physical and they bring it night in and night out, and he wins a lot more than he loses, and his teams are in the tournament much more often than they are not. And now, I'll tell you, renewed enthusiasm overall for next year. Because the idea that the program was ruined and tarnished forever, it's just not the way the sport works now. It is year to year. It is transactional. It is, you know, do you have the money to go out and get three really good players, two to three really good players, and do you have a coach good enough to coach them up? Because at that point, you can win 25 games and be a four seed and be in the tournament and have a shot. And I think that's what you know, potentially have even next year now. We'll see what happens over the next few days in the portal with Rodney Rice. Looks like Gillespie probably heads to Tennessee, maybe Villanova. God, it would have been great to get Gillespie and Rice both back. Because if you had Gillespie and Rice both coming back next year, you know, you add a big or two in the portal, a big-time freshman recruit, and all of a sudden you're predicted top five in the Big Ten and probably preseason top 25. But I don't think Gillespie, based on what I've read, based on what I've heard, is coming back. But I think it's critical, Denton, that they figure out a way and they pay Rodney Rice to stay. He is an all-first-team Big Ten possibility next year. And you add another big, the guy Payne that Buzz Williams brought from Minnesota to Texas A&M. He went for 25 and 26 in their two tournament games. You know, I don't know that he'll come. I don't know who's going to come with Buzz Williams. But you're only a couple of moves away over the next few days of having yourself a competitive team in 2025, 2026. And I think, you know, within the last 72 hours before Buzz Williams was hired, there was the thought that next year was going to be horrendous. All right, we'll get to some Denton news next. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.